Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Our theme for 2016 has been Jesus is Lord. We're making that our focus. We're making that our theme. We're making that a focal point for our church this year. And I want to make sure that as we make Jesus Lord of our life, that we are understanding what position that puts us in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to read verse 17. We'll start in verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. When you make Jesus Lord, you become, the title of today's message is an ambassador. An ambassador. When you make Jesus Lord, you become Christ's ambassador. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 gives us a most concise description of what our life is now that Jesus has been made Lord. Today I want to look at this passage step by step. We have to have a good understanding of the life that we are now to live. I want to take a look at this. Put your ribbon there, hold your place there, because we're going to study this section of Scripture in depth in the next few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, this means, verse 17, this means, now that you've made Jesus Lord, here's what this means. Anyone who belongs to Christ. Okay, stop right there. There's a word there that we don't get. There's a word there that the modern day churchgoer, the guy that says, yes, I'm a Christian, there's a word there that we're not getting. And that word is belongs. Belongs. The dictionary says, if you look up the word belong, to be owned. To be owned. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23 both tell us that you are bought with a price. You're no longer belonging to yourself. You've been bought and paid for. You need to understand, you're owned. I hear this all the time, and I want to make sure that you never say this. Never. Nobody that goes to Christian ministries, don't never say, it's my life, I'll do with it. Don't ever say it's my life. Take that out of your vocabulary. I tell you right now, nobody tells me what to do. Cut. Take that out of your vocabulary. Somebody does tell you everything to do. And no, it's not your life. I'm 18, I'll make my own decisions. Well, you may be 18, but you're not making your own decisions. Not if you call yourself a Christian. I'm independent, I'm of age, and I'll decide. See, don't just get that out of your vocabulary, because that's not the truth. That thinking is over. You belong to Christ. Let's read on, verse 17. You have become a new person. No, you're not your own. No, you're not 18 and make your own decisions. No, you're owned by somebody. And here is the new life that many in the church today don't get. Let me flesh this out for you. Let me get this in as applied life as I possibly can. Here's what this says. I'm mad, I'm hurt, and I want to leave this church. Well, that may be very true. You may be mad. You may be hurt. Somebody here may have highly offended you. I don't doubt that at all. That's all probably true. But you leaving is not a decision for you to make. God brought you here. You told me yourself God drew you here. God placed you here. See, you belong to Christ. So in fact, you may be mad. You may be mad as a hornet. I mean, you're chapped. But you're not going nowhere because you didn't come here. God brought you here. See, you belong to Christ. Well, I tell you what, I've been looked over my boss for the last time. He's looked over me and overlooked me and overlooked me. And I can tell you right now, he won't have a chance to overlook me again because I'm leaving here. Well, you probably have been overlooked. You probably have been jerked around by your boss. There's no question about that. But see, the Lord opened up the door for you to work there. He placed you there because he's using that place as an avenue to bring blessings and provisions to you. And he has put you in that particular place because there's some people there that he wants you to have an effect on that are not ever going to sit in front of a preacher ever in their whole life. And God has put you there because you're the only preacher they're ever going to hear. And so the fact that you're mad at your boss, you got one of two choices. Stay mad or get over it. But you don't have a third choice of leaving because God's put you there. See, you are a new person. You think different than you used to think. That old life and that way of thinking is gone. I now belong to Christ. And too many have raised a hand with all their eyes closed and nobody looking around. Too many have walked down front and repeated a three-sentence prayer without an old life leaving and a new life beginning. They still belong to themselves. If you call yourself a Christian, you are totally and completely different. Your desires, your thoughts, your actions, your vocabulary, the way you handle your money, the way you entertain, it now belongs to Christ. There is a belonging to the Lord. Well, I'm mad, I'm disappointed in the school teacher and the staff there. I want to quit this school. That may be very true. If you have a school teacher, sooner or later, their imperfection is going to come out and they're going to disappoint you. You can write that down. I don't care. Oh, I just love my teacher. Well, you won't forever. Because your teacher's going to make a mistake and going to handle a situation wrongly. Just write that down. But see, you jumping up and quitting, or you leaving, or you're out of here. See, the Lord has me on an assignment where I am. Church, as we make Jesus Lord, we've got to understand there is a belonging to Christ. Verse 18, let's read on. All this is a gift from God. Now, Romans tells us this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. I mean, you stinking, rotten, low-down dog. That's what you were. You didn't deserve not none of this. But Jesus saw you, and he died for you anyway. So it's a gift. It is a gift from God. Christ died for you and I. Now, I want you to understand where mankind is. Let's quickly, in the next 15 to 30 seconds, let's recap 6,000 years. I'll go fast. God created man. He placed man in the garden, and it says he walked with man and talked with man in the cool of the day. God walked and talked. There was a constant fellowship and communion with God and man. God, to give man a choice, put a tree in the garden, said, don't eat of that. Man chose to disobey. Man chose to walk in sin. And you've got a sinful man and you have a perfect God. You've got light and you've got dark. You've got right and you've got wrong. You've got just and you've got unjust. You've got perfect and you've got imperfect. And here's what you've got to know. We can't have a totally dark room except for the light in here. See, light and dark aren't in the same room at the same time. You don't have a perfect picture except for this one little flaw. The one little flaw makes it imperfect. So you don't have perfect and imperfect walking together in the cool of the day. So when man sinned, it put an impassable gap. When man sinned, there is a separation between man and God. God can no longer walk and talk with man in the cool of the day. There is a separation. Now, for 4,000 years of history, God did not live in the hearts of mankind. God lived for a time in the Holy of Holies. God just lived out in the beyond. And when he wanted to talk to man, he'd get a bush on fire and a voice would come out and talk to man. And I hear people say, oh, I wish a bush would just catch on fire and God's voice would talk to me. Are you kidding me? We're talking archaic, folks. God doesn't have to do that. He talks to you all day long inside your heart. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't act like that. Let's go here. Let's do that. God's inside you, talking to you all of the time. But once in 400 years, he would speak from a bush. You understand? Because God didn't live inside mankind. There was a separation. And all we could do would be to make temporary animal sacrifices as we entered into what form of communion with God that was available for us. Let's read on, verse 18 and 19. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people. Now, don't get all fouled up on that word reconciling. It's not a big word. It's an accounting term, means to balance, to settle the accounts, to balance, okay? He's going to bring us back. God in Christ reconciled people to him. Verse 19, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Now, I realize for a lot of y'all that are out here perfect, that doesn't mean a lot too. But for someone like me, that means a whole lot too. God did not count. He's no longer counting my sins against me. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Now I've got the message. I can go and tell somebody, guess what? Through Christ, he won't count your sins against you. That's good news, folks. That is good news. To reconcile, if you look that up in the dictionary, it means to settle the dispute between, to settle the separation, or to reconnect. That's what that means. We've been reconnected with God. Verse 20, so now, let's look in verse 20. I want everybody to see this. So we are, now that you've made Jesus Lord, get this. So we are Christ ambassadors. So we are Christ ambassadors. The title of today's message is an ambassador. An ambassador. If you look that up in the dictionary, it says the highest ranking diplomat, representative of one country to another. The United States has ambassadors in other nations, and they're not over there starting their own business. They're not over there building their own company. They're not over there building their own enterprise. They are in that country doing only one thing. You know what that is? Representing the concerns of the United States to that nation. And they go to their parliament, they go to their government meetings, and their parliament is discussing this, that, or the other. And our ambassador says, hold on just a minute, let me let you know that the United States won't buy from you. Let me tell you, if you do that, the United States won't be happy with, if you do that, the United States won't conduct business with you. See, they are over there representing the United States and our concerns and our interest in that other nation. They're not over there doing their own thing and building their own business. Jesus said over and over and over, my kingdom is not of this world. And the point that I want to make today, we are an ambassador of a kingdom. See, there is a nation. Now, it's not of this world, but we are an ambassador of another kingdom, and we are in this world, not of it. We are in this world representing this kingdom's concerns, representing this kingdom's interest, representing this kingdom's direction, representing this kingdom's viewpoint, We're here to represent God's kingdom. See, an ambassador describes you today. You are an ambassador. Well, Tim, I don't know what my place is. Well, Tim, I don't know what my position is in the church. There's more than two positions, a singer and a preacher. You forget the position of an ambassador. You are an ambassador. You are an ambassador, and you represent a kingdom that is not of this world to the kingdom of this world. That's what you do. So when you're asked, as we all are every day, everyday issues, whatever issues are facing the day, whether it be choosing your own agenda, whether it be who can get married, whether it can be what bathroom do you think people ought to be able to use, whether it be abortion, you don't have an opinion on that. You are to give God's opinion. See, you are to give, you're an ambassador. I'm not here representing myself. I'm here representing someone else. I am all the time around unsaved people. In what I do for a business, in where I operate, where we go, where I'll be in and out the next week or two, I will be around unsaved, lost people. People who don't know God. People who don't know how the kingdom of God operates. People who don't know how God thinks. And as I am with them and we are talking, I have got to always understand I'm an ambassador. That's what I am there. Now, I don't have to carry my Bible and tell them they're all going to hell. I don't have to break my Bible out and tell them they're dirty, rotten sinners and they're going to burn in hell. I don't even have to do any of that. I don't have to say anything because at some point they will ask me, well, Tim, what do you think about this? We'll be watching TV together. Well, what do you think about that? Well, what do you think about? And everybody around the table, everybody standing there around the job site, everybody there is giving their opinions, and I'm just standing there. I don't have my Bible. I'm not holier than thou. I'm not condescending to anybody. I'm just standing there. Well, Tim, what do you think on that? Thank you for asking. I'm an ambassador. At that point, oh, by God, I'll tell you what I think. No. Oh, you're an ambassador. We don't care anything about what you think. That person is dead. That person is gone. Who you are and what you think is buried. Now you are an ambassador, and when you open your mouth, you are to be communicating in that situation what God thinks, because you are representing the kingdom of God. You're an ambassador. I mean, I don't know if y'all have seen this, but I am, and it just seems like it's every other commercial. We have a presidential candidate right now running ads on TV about who they're going to tax. And they got a pyramid here, and they're going to tax these people. And they're going to tax these people that do this, and then we're going to give it to these people down here. And they're bragging like that's a positive thing. And I'm thinking, ooh, ooh, ooh. If I thought that, I wouldn't tell anybody that. Because Matthew chapter 25, verse 28, 29, and 30. See, I represent the red letters. See, I don't have an opinion. I am Christ's ambassadors. Matthew 25, verse 28, 29, and 30 are red letters, and it tells us just opposite of who you're bragging about to tax. And so whenever I'm asked about that commercial, I say, well, the Bible seems to know how life is supposed to work. And it says to tax these people at this end of the pyramid and give it to the people up here at this end of the pyramid, because they're the ones that are going to go out and build a factory and hire 10,000 people. They're the ones that's going to go out here. I'm telling you what, no poor person's ever given me a job. Rich people's the ones that gives me jobs. It's rich people that buy stuff from me. So what I want to do is I want to do what Jesus said, and I'm not going to get on TV and brag about the fact that I'm totally opposite of what the Bible says. So out here in daily life, see, these are people that don't know God. They don't know God's word. They don't know the Bible. They don't have a clue what Jesus said. That's why I am his ambassador. I do know what Matthew 25 says. I do know what Jeremiah says about life. I do know what Isaiah says about life. I do know what Psalm says about when life begins. They don't have a clue. So if they don't want a baby, here's the decision. Here, let me just give you another viewpoint. I'm here to represent another country that you're not aware of. And let me just, let me tell you what this other country thinks about that. See, you are an ambassador every moment of every day. Look, if you go to this church, don't say, well, I think. Just don't say that. It might get back to me. And I think, golly, they're sleeping through my sermons. Don't say, well, I think. Well, I personally believe. Well, for me, it's a, you belong. Don't forget, you belong, and don't forget, you are an ambassador. And you are an ambassador to people that will never come in this church and never hear me preach. You are, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you certainly are every day, every moment of every day. You are an ambassador. And you are representing God and the kingdom of God. I heard this last week about me. I like this kind of stuff. I don't go to church because Tim judges. Most judgmental person I've ever been around. Well, you know, that really couldn't be more false. God judges people by their actions. I just read his judgments to you. Tim judges everybody that goes that. Look, Tim, who are you to say? Well, I'm not saying. I'm just reading red words. That's what I'm doing here. I'm not criticizing your lifestyle one iota. I got news for you. I care less what you do. Go marry three dogs if you want to. I don't care. I don't give a rip. You need to know this since I'm just here to. I don't give a rip about what you do, who you marry, who you. I go to whatever bathroom you want to go to. Go use a tree. I don't care. All I'm telling you is what the kingdom of God says that he will bless. That's what I'm telling you. But don't ever feel guilty when I walk up about what you're doing, because you need to know this about me. I care less about you or what you're doing. But I want you to know, here's what God will bless. Here's what I want you to know. Here's the lifestyle God will bless you, and you will prosper if you do this. Here's what God will do in your life if you will obey this, this, and this. Let me tell you what God will do in your life with you, for you, and through you. You understand? I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador. You need to know you're not judging people. You need to know, and you will be criticized of judging people. You're not judging anybody. You're not saying this activity is right and this activity is wrong. You need to understand in your mind, because who are you to say I'm right and I'm wrong? Who are you to say? Well, you start kind of getting guilty about, well, who am I to judge you? You're not judging them. You're not making a decision about their activity. I want you to walk in an awareness. You're not the judge. You are an ambassador of the judge. Good. It's not you. And here's what he said. Let's read on verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Who are you to say what? I am making a plea. Come back to God's way of thinking. Come back to God's way of doing business. Come back to God's way of running a country. Come back to God's way of passing legislation. Come back to God's way, because God has blessed us when we do his way. I can read for 6,000 years of human history, when people do it God's way, God blesses them. And I am an ambassador saying, come on back to God's way. Come on back to God's way. I'm not judging you. I'm not criticizing you. I don't care what lifestyle you live, but I'm calling you back. Come back to God's way, because God's way has, will, and will always work in life. Verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Buddha didn't do that. Muhammad didn't do that. There you go, judging religions. Muhammad didn't say he did that. I'm not telling you anything new. Buddha never said he did that. They did not do that. Reverend Moon did not do. Well, Tim, I find great comfort in my Buddha religion. I don't doubt that you do. I'm not looking for comfort. I'm looking to be right with God, and there's only one way to pull that off. Do you understand this? You may find great comfort in sitting on a rock with your legs crossed and humming. I'm proud for you. But if you want to be made right with God, it is only through the one that God made to have no sin, but yet came to have sin for you and I, so that you could be made right with God, not through your own stinking life, but through Christ. You are made right with God through Christ. Verse 20, and you and I are ambassadors to that fact. And God is making his appeal through you and I to the lost. On the cross, at the point of death, when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If that ever sounds strange to you, you need to understand that is the essence of why I'm a Christian. That right there is the reason I'm not a Buddhist, or I'm not a Hindu, or I'm not a Muslim. That right there is the reason. Because a man who never sinned became sin, and at that moment, God had to remove himself from sin, because you can't have light and dark in the same room. And when Jesus became dark, then God removed himself from Jesus, because sinful man has no contact with God. Matthew 12, I believe it's in verse 40. It says, so as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. Jesus went to hell for 3 days. He went to hell. In Jesus' life, he defeated Satan. You remember in Luke, I believe it's chapter 4, when the devil took him up on exceeding high mountain, took him up on the temple. Look, you'll do this. If you'll do that, Jesus said, get behind me. I'm not doing none of that. And in Jesus' life, he defeated Satan. And in Jesus' death, he defeated Satan. He went into hell. And when that stone rolled away, he took the ability of the devil to hold mankind into slavery away from him, and set. Go to Hebrews. I'll just read it to you. You can't find it. Hebrews chapter 2. It's hard to find. It's very hard to find, because it comes right after chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 14. Listen to this. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. And only in this way could he free all of those who have lived their lives as slaves to the devil. That's why you are a Christian and not any other religion. That's why. Because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin, and in his life and in his death, he defeated the hold that the devil had. Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about Jesus' authority. As a matter of fact, it wasn't Jesus' miracles that got people. A lot of folks did miracles. It wasn't his miracles. You remember, it was the authority. It was the authority of whose authority do you do all of this in? You remember Matthew chapter 21 when Jesus rode the donkey in and went up on the temple and he whipped out the money changers and they came and said, whose authority are you doing this in? Who? See, it's a question of authority. When he called out their lifestyle, you're doing this and you're doing that. When he called out their lifestyle, they wanted to know, whose authority are you judging me in? They demanded there in the last part of that chapter. It says they demanded, by what authority are you doing these things? And here's what I want you to know. When you stand against somebody's lifestyle, they will want to know who died and left you king. They will want to know, by what, who are you to judge me? See, they will want to know what authority you have. Who are you to criticize who I've decided to marry? Who are you to tell me what gender I really am? See, I want to know who are you. When you stand against people's lifestyle, just as Jesus did, there will be a question of whose authority are you operating in? And you have got to be aware of this, because if you're not, you'll begin to wonder, whose authority are you representing? Wait, who am I to judge them? Wait, I can't judge them. Wait, who am I to say what they're doing is wrong? See, the world will overwhelm you, and it will whip you down. Well, you know, am I one to stand against this? I mean, the whole world's going this way. Really, am I one to stand? No, you're not one to stand against it. You are an ambassador. You are an ambassador. And if you are the only one in this, well, Tim, this is the way the culture's going. You know, the majority of the world believes this. Here's what you need to know about me. If the whole world, and I'm the only one, and the whole world believes this, you got to know, I understand the fact that I am an ambassador. And if the whole nation believes that a man can marry five dogs, and that's a legal marriage, if the whole world buys into that, you got to know, I'm an ambassador to a kingdom that's not of this world. And this kingdom believes that marriage is between a man and a woman. Regardless of the days they get mad, they live till death do them part. That's what the kingdom that I represent is all about. And I operate under the authority of God. Our belief in God can be a little deceptive. You remember when they said they believed in God, Jesus said, big deal. That didn't impress him. He said, let me tell you something, the demons believe in God. So I believe in God. Well, so what? That didn't impress Jesus. Don't impress me. The demons believe in God. That ain't no big deal. See, as a Christian, you have a new life. You have a new life. James says you don't look in the mirror and walk away. You operate under his authority. If you remember Matthew chapter 5, y'all know the story if you don't go back and read that. But a Roman centurion came to Jesus and said, Jesus, you know, my servant's sick and I need you to pray for me. And Jesus said, I come. And the Roman centurion says, no, don't even come. You just say the word. And then the guy said, because I know how this operates. He said, see, I'm under authority, and I say to this one to go, and he goes, and I say to this one, he comes. So you don't have to go. Just say the word, and this is what will happen. And Jesus said, whoa, 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 I never seen such faith like this in all of Israel. See, this guy understood a life of belonging. See, he understood a life of being an ambassador. See, this centurion said, I know how this works because I, in the position I'm in, I say to this one, and I say to that one, it's because of the position that I'm in. I'm not the one giving these orders. I understand I have a power behind me and I'm representing that power. And see, you can say, I believe in God, but are you his ambassador? Are you operating as his ambassador in your community, in your neighborhood, in your home, in your family, with the people that you work with? Are you his ambassador? There's a lot of power under the hood of my truck. There's a lot of power under the hood of my truck. It can push, it can pull, it can carry, it can travel, it can play music, it can cool me, it can heat me. It can wipe the water off the windshield, tell me what time it is. My truck can even tell me how much air I got in the tires. It's a dang thing. It starts screaming at me when I don't buckle my seatbelt. There's a lot of power in my truck. And there's a lot of things I can do with that truck. There's a lot of things I can do with it. I can sit in the front yard and I can put a tomato patch in the bed of it. I can fill it all full of dirt and I can grow tomatoes and grow vegetables in the bed of it. A lot of things I can do with that truck. I can sleep in it when my wife's mad at me. There's a lot of things I can do with that truck and never access the power that's under that hood. See, the fact that you got a truck is not impressive. Are you accessing the power that's under that hood? Is it taking you places that you wouldn't be without it? The fact that you got a truck ain't no big deal to me if you don't access the power that's under there to take you in places in life that you wouldn't have been without the power that's under that hood. Are you accessing the power of God in your life as you operate daily as an ambassador? Being a Christian is not wearing Jesus t-shirt and some cross earrings. It's representing the lordship of Jesus in a lost and dying world through you and through your lifestyle. The point of all this is you cannot represent Jesus without walking in his authority. You're an ambassador. You represent him. And Jesus took dominion over this life. Life didn't whip him down. Life didn't defeat him. Life didn't have Jesus wallowing in despair. And you cannot be his ambassador if you allow life to whip you. Live your life representing the kingdom of God. And everywhere you are, all day long, understand, you're an ambassador. Y'all stand. Lord, we continue to allow you to direct and guide our life as we recognize the fact that we belong to you and we live our life, not representing our decisions and our will, but we live our life as your ambassador. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.